Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I have the honor to read from the book of John this morning, chapter 8, verses 12, the validity of Jesus' testimony. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, will have the light of life."
The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians and described them as shining stars. The word shine means to reflect. The scientific term for shine is albedo. That's an interesting word. It's a measurement of how much sunlight a celestial body reflects. It might interest you to know that the planet Venus has the highest degree of albedo in the universe. 65% of the light that comes to that planet is reflected out. That's in comparison to Pluto, which ranges from 49 to 66%, depending upon where it is in its orbit. How about the moon? It's just 7%. But we look up at the moon at night and think to ourselves, what a bright and beautiful light that is. What it's doing is it's reflecting light. And in Philippians 2, verse 16, the Apostle Paul says that we're to shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of God. That reminds me of the Gideons. They're shining like stars as they hold out the word of God. Jesus Christ does not reflect light. He is the light. That's what the Bible is telling us today in John chapter 8. It's just one verse that we're looking at today, but it's a powerful verse. It speaks to us of who Jesus Christ is. Now, the context for Jesus speaking these words in John chapter 8 is the Feast of Tabernacles, which was taking place in the city of Jerusalem. What the Feast of Tabernacles commemorated was the wilderness wanderings of the people of Israel after the Exodus. So they're in the desert and they're living in tents or tabernacles for 40 years. This feast was their way of remembering what it was that our ancestors went through in order that we might have the privilege of serving God and worshiping God in this great nation that we call Israel. You know, they were led by a pillar of fire. And it's this idea of light that Jesus is referring to. But there was a cultural practice during the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's really quite interesting. On the first day of the festival, there was a ceremony called the illumination of the temple. So in the center of the court of women were candelabras. When they were lit, it created such an amazing, blazing light in the temple, and that light went throughout all of Jerusalem. So Jesus spoke again to the people and said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." What Jesus is saying at the Feast of Tabernacles is this: I'm giving light not only to Jerusalem, but to the whole world. And my light is not going to end when this festival is over. My light will continue throughout all of eternity. Now, some people don't get it. And we read in the 13th verse of John chapter 18 that the Pharisees pushed back against Jesus. And what they said to Jesus was, "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." And that's how it is today. There are people that hear the words of Jesus Christ and they don't get it. So in John chapter 1 and verse 5, we read, "The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." The word for understand, katalambano, means to comprehend, to seize, to catch, to appreciate something. Once in a while, a person in my family says something to me, and I don't catch it. So I say, "Please repeat it." And usually I get it on the second time, but sometimes it takes three or four or five times for me to really get what it is they're saying to me. You ever have that problem? Sure we do. The world has this problem when it comes to Jesus Christ. A lack of comprehension. They don't catch what we say about the Lord. And so it's important for us to repeat over and over and over again. That's why we give out these Bibles all over the world. Because people need to have it. They need to read it. They need to read it over and over and over again sometimes before they fully comprehend what God is saying to them. In this 12th verse of John chapter 8, Jesus says something that's really powerful. He says, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." It's a present participle, which means that following is continuous. You don't follow Jesus for a couple of hours and then follow something different. If you want to be in the light, it's perpetual following of the Lord. You do it throughout your entire life. That's what we do with Jesus Christ. To follow in the original language, the word for follow is akalutheo, which means to accompany and to attend. And this is what separates disciples from casual believers in God. There are so many people that think to be a follower of God means that I sign on to his teachings. But that's not what being a follower means. What being a follower means is that I am with God. I am attending to him. I am accompanying him. And so what followers do is they wake up in the morning and they say to God, "Where are we going today?" That's what we say if we're followers. Because what we want to do is the will of God. We want to go where Jesus sends us. And we know that if we do that, we'll never walk in darkness. We'll have the light of life. Followers embrace the very words of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus said to the disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, what that implies would be three things. First of all, it's self-denial. I can't always do what I want to do. I have to deny myself and the places and the things that I had dreamed of going to and doing so that I can go where God wants me to go. Secondly, it may involve a form of sacrifice, and that's why the word cross is used. Finally, it involves faith. And I reflect on Martin Luther King Jr. today, and I think of one of the most important things that Dr. King ever said. Faith is taking the first step even when you can't see the whole staircase. That's faith. And so that's what we do with Jesus because he is our light. A couple of weeks ago, I ran into a friend of mine that I hadn't seen for a number of years. His name is Barry. And Barry gave up drinking so that he could follow Jesus Christ because drinking alcohol was controlling his life. But through prayer and his attendance faithfully at Alcoholics Anonymous, he was able to not only overcome his addiction, but he actually was transformed by God into a servant of the Lord Jesus. And he serves God in so many, many ways. But I remember what Barry used to do. He used to call a friend of mine every morning at 7 o'clock just to check in. Every morning at 7 o'clock just to check in and say, "I'm not drinking today." That was his practice. That was his commitment. That was the path and the light that he was following. Sometimes what we're doing is we're sacrificing our schedules. You could be at home, but instead, it's your choice to be a tutor at Riverview East Academy. It's your choice to attend choir practice. It's your choice to volunteer to serve at a rummage sale. We're willing to do these things because we trust Jesus Christ. We know that the place he is leading us to is the best place that we can be. We read in John chapter 10 and verse 4, "His sheep follow him because they know his voice." And so we hear the voice of God calling out to us, and as sheep, we say, "That's the voice I trust. That's the voice I want to follow. I'm following Jesus Christ." And so we hear God speak to us through the Bible. And that's why our Bibles should be open, and we should be reading the words of Scripture every single day, because that's God speaking to you and to me. And then those words become words that we share with other people. I encourage you this day to share the Word of God with someone. A good verse for you to share with someone is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. And of course, you all know what that verse is, right? And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. That's a verse that everyone in this room needs to hold on to and then to share with someone else. That God meets all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. When we were called by God as his sheep, and we followed him, we left the darkness. It says in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. When you read that verse, it's good to reflect on what our lives were like before we came to the Lord. What you can also reflect on is, what would my life be like if I wasn't walking with the Lord today? But there's something else to reflect on when you read that verse. What you should reflect on is that we are a people. We're not a solo act. We're a group. We're a nation. We're a royal priesthood. We've been called out by God to help one another on this road that we're following. This road that's so filled with light. When we follow Jesus out of darkness, it put us into his wonderful light, but it also gave us life. So it says in verse 12 of John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we're talking about life. We're talking about eternal life. And you know, you can't have life without light, right? That's the key to life. William Barclay wrote, and this is an amazing thought, just as the flower can never blossom when it never sees the sunlight, so our lives can never flower with the grace and beauty they ought to have until they are irradiated with the light of the presence of Jesus Christ. So, are you blooming? The key to blooming is the light of Jesus Christ shining in your life. It says in John chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. So what the Lord is offering is not a life of 70 or 80 or 90 years. No, he's offering a life that will never end. It's eternal. Danny Hillis is a computer engineer. He's an inventor. He thinks about people and how he wants them to care more about the long-term future. Danny's so committed to this that what he invented is called a 10,000-year clock. And he explains it this way. I wanted to build a clock that ticks once a year. The century hand advances once every 100 years. And the cuckoo comes out on the millennium. I want the cuckoo to come out every millennium for the next 10,000 years. Do you have a picture of this clock? His motivation in building the clock is to inspire people to take more responsibility for the future. He hopes that the clock will raise the question, are we being good ancestors? He wants us to think about the future and cause people to start projects that will outlast their lifetime. A colleague of his, Stuart Brand, says, civilization is revving itself into a pathologically short attention span. This trend might be coming from the acceleration of technology, the short horizon perspective of market-driven economies, the next election perspective of democracies, or the distractions of personal multitasking. All are on the increase. Some sort of balancing corrective is needed. And so for us, that means thinking about the long term. And you know, the world has always had this problem. Some people only think about today. Some people only think about what's going to happen and where we're going to go for lunch. But God wants us to have the eternal view of life. And the Gideons get this. And so they're helping people throughout the world have the eternal perspective of life. Now, when I read John chapter 8, I think about where Jesus was before he got to Jerusalem. He was in Galilee. And in John chapter 6, there's this moment where people start to fall away from Jesus. They stop following. They stop trusting. They stop believing. And you've probably known people like that in your life. They were walking with the Lord, but then they stopped. They stopped trusting. They stopped following. They stopped believing. And in John chapter 6, when this is all happening prior to Jesus coming to the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus looked at the 12 disciples and said to them, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" And at this moment, Peter stepped up and demonstrated why he would one day become the leader of this band of men. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And Peter got it. He said, "That's what I want. I want eternity. I don't want today. I don't want tomorrow. I want eternity." You see, Jesus is the light of the world, and that light will never go out. The whole world has the same choice that Peter had. So let's help them. Let's help them choose to walk in the light and reflect it 100%. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus' promise. We praise and thank you, Father, that we can walk with you and be in your light. We give thanks to you, our God, for shining so that we might reflect you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We invite you to stand for our closing hymn, number 470, The Footsteps of Jesus. Thank you.